Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Here's Lemieux, his center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux! Oh my heavens! What a goal! What a move! Lemieux! Oh baby! Sandin, in! Oh, and he just missed! Thomas was there with him. Tucker in there and steals it. Tucker gets it up for a shot! Oh, there's Barroso making another big stop on Korolev. Big rebound. Jose swept that one again, and again a shot. Jose, another shot. And stopped by Curtis Dilson, coming out on Clark. Shot by Clark, knocked down by Clark. And the Leafs are coming in. Shot by Ball, rebound! Oh! And it's just wide on the far side. Leaves it for Sundin. Takes a hit, has the puck, comes out. There's a shot that's stopped by Barroso. It looked like the game winner, Crosby. For Ottawa, Sabiner, rebound! Just misses the far side. Joseph acrobatically leaping from post to post. Action, terrific here. Sundin in, did it, slides it in. Thomas, another shot. Another one. No, it stays out. Thomas had two or three chances to end the game. It's still going, and this is terrific. Here goes Markov. Over the line he is. He shoots. Rebound! And up against the glass behind Tom Barroso. The Leafs pouring on the pressure. But we're still going. I don't know how they're going, but they are. Here comes Phillips. Shoots it across center and in. Joseph is out of the net. Give it away. Centering pass. Shot missed the goal. And it's clear to center of Barroso and Iris. Coming up there, Barroso. Here comes Thomas. Scores! Thomas scores! And the Leafs win this terrific hockey game. What a finish! Now with Correa. And up to defenseman Pryor. Gets the zone. Pryor passes in. Oh, great! By Correa! But what a play by Mario Lemieux to fake. Receiving the pass and allowing to roll into Correa. What a goal that was. It's a 1-1 tie. The boards. It comes to Gagne and away they go. Down that side to Sakic and Gagne. Sakic pass in front. Score. Gidla going to the net. It is Canada 2. USA 1. Nieuwendijk comes up. Back for Jovanovski. He gets set. Flipped it over for Sakic. Comes in. Shot. Scores. Go Sakic. Faked the pass and took the shot on the short side. And Sakic gives Canada a 3-2 lead. It's in front of Men to Blake. He hit Mans it all right. And down they come across the line. Sakic and Yzerman. What about this duel? Shot. Goal. Goal. Canada. Goal. Fans here. The place goes crazy. Here is Salt Lake City, and I guess coast to coast in Canada and all around the world. They're trying to hang on and get a break. It's going to be a break. It is Joe Sakic scores. Joe Sakic scores, and that makes it 5-2 Canada. Surely that's got to be it. Now, after 50 years, it's time for Canada to stand up and cheer. Stand up and cheer, everybody. The Olympic Salt Lake City 2002 men's ice hockey gold medal. Canada.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Oh, baby, welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp Inc., Thursday, April 25th. Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, we're here and ready to break down the Thursday NHL Stanley Cup playoff slate. Two games tonight. We'll look back at last night. Of course, tonight, it's a Patreon-exclusive Ice Guys Stanley Cup playoffs live betcast. It's our first Patreon-exclusive betcast during the playoffs tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Again, the only way to watch that betcast and join us on the stream is to sign up as a member on the Patreon page, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. So again, we're looking forward to that for sure tonight. Another Ice Guys Patreon exclusive live betcast, and our first one that is Patreon exclusive here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So definitely looking forward to that. There you see it on the screen, Patreon exclusive live betcast tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Again, sign up at patreon.com/iceguys to join us for that. We begin the day with some somber news, and we begin the show with some somber news. Of course, one of the all-time great voices in hockey, I'll say probably one of the great all-time voices in sports.
Yeah,
Bob Cole, the Newfoundlander, 90 years of age, passed away earlier today. A 50-year career, all of it with Hockey Night in Canada, 1969 to 2019. And that's the thing about Bob Cole's career. You know, he wasn't attached to any one team. He wasn't a regional broadcaster. He wasn't a team broadcaster. His whole 50-year career was all on national television, coast to coast, with Hockey Night in Canada. For 50 years, I remember he started doing radio with Hockey Night in Canada in 1969. He didn't really get to television until, I believe, the early to mid-70s. And that's when he started to split duties with Bill Hewitt, Danny Gallivan, on the Hockey Night in Canada broadcasters. And then I think in the mid to late 70s, that's around the time Bob took over as the number one lead voice on television of Hockey Night in Canada. And man, he'd hold that role for, what, 30 years probably as the lead voice? From 19 what seven late, like I said, mid to late 70s until about I think 2006, 2007, and that's when Jim Hewson took over as the lead voice of Hockey Night in Canada as Bob got up there in years. But it was quite, and even when he relinquished the lead voice to Jim Hewson, he was still with Hockey Night in Canada all the way through to 2019 when he retired. Just an incredible career. And the thing about Bob, you know, is he had the energy, the enthusiasm, the passion. He got into all the big moments, the big goals, the big saves, and you certainly saw that on that video tribute we played at the beginning of the show. But he also had the golden voice, the golden pipes, just a tremendous voice for broadcasting. And the way he would sum up a game or sum up a series, and with great poetry, and his wordsmith and his, you know, his diction was absolutely tremendous as well. Just one of the enjoyable play-by-play men in the history of the sport, and certainly someone that anyone aspiring to be a broadcaster growing up in our generation here in this country tried to be. I mean, you wanted to be the next Bob Cole. And I know Dave Randorf, who's the current voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning and worked with TSN before, said, I grew up trying to be Bob Cole. And he was an influence on me, and I'm sure anyone that's currently in a hockey play-by-play, especially Canadian, definitely influenced by Bob Cole. So many great calls. I mean, that video clip had a lot of them. And certainly the first time that Canada won the gold medal in men's hockey, could you believe that when they won it in 2002, they hadn't won it in 50 years? That's hard to believe. 50 years that Canada had not won, this country of all countries in hockey, and they had not won a gold medal in 50 years prior to that 2002 a gold medal win in Salt Lake City. That was a great call. There's so many great, that Toronto-Ottawa game that you saw on the video tribute, I think it was from 1999 or 2000, 2001, around that era.
2001.
One of the craziest fucking overtime sequences in a playoff game still to this day that I've ever seen. And Bob Cole was calling it on television that night. and just outstanding job. I mean, one great call after another. Borshevsky in overtime in 93 with the Leafs beat Detroit in games. Marchand, Todd Marchand, not Brad, Todd Marchand, and it's spelled differently, M-A-R-C-H-A-N-T. Todd Marchand, overtime winner for the Edmonton Oilers against the Dallas Stars in a playoff game. Check that call out. Phenomenal. So many incredible calls, moments throughout his career. Rest in peace, Bob Cole. Absolute legend. An unbelievable career. His memory will live on forever, Alex.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, growing up here in the States, didn't get to hear him as often, but we did get to hear his calls, like I said, throughout the later 90s and the 2010s. And, of course, with NHL Network carrying Hockey Night Canada games, but even before that. And it's kind of funny when I look back at Wikipedia and I remember, yeah, that Sports Channel back in the day used to carry some of those Hockey Night in Canada games late in the season. So his voice was always heard. And like I said, if you're a fan of hockey, you heard some of his legendary calls. You mentioned that series, Edmonton-Dallas, being one of the great series of the late 90s and 2000s. Toronto and Ottawa having those battles. So just some great memories and moments going back and seeing those segments. Of course, like you said, Canada winning the gold in 2002 in Salt Lake City. And with the irony of that, of course, with Salt Lake City being the newest NHL city and franchise, so to have that call kind of ring out as tops in that location, kind of kind of seals the moment and stuff. But a long and storied career, a tremendous career, and one of the great voices of this great sport. So may he rest in peace.
Yeah, no question about it. Bob Cole, hell of a career. Rest in peace. You will be missed. No question about it. Looking back at hockey last night, Alex, the games that we saw. It was a fun night, another exciting night. Leafs and Bruins was a terrific hockey game. We'll start there. That was obviously the first game of the night. And the Boston Bruins find a way in that game to pull out the victory. They get a 4-2 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs in that game. And I think the main takeaway from that game is that the Toronto Maple Leafs power play let them down. Simple as that. I think it's the biggest downfall as to why that Toronto Maple Leafs team lost the game last night to the Boston Bruins. You get five power plays and you fail to generate a power play goal. It's difficult to win a game when that happens. And certainly last night, the Leaf power play had so many chances to give their team momentum, and they were really never able to in that game. And Boston's power play, sure enough, well, what do we see early in the third period when that game was, when it was still right there to be won? You know, it's Jake DeBrusk. Early in the third period, got a big power play goal for the Boston Bruins. So special teams was a big detriment. Jeremy Swayman was, again, phenomenal for the Boston Bruins. That's now 2-0 for him in the series. That's now still a perfect win-loss record for him this year against the Boston Bruins, or against the Toronto Maple Leafs, I should say, for Swayman. He's been terrific against them this year. He was awesome again, to the point now where I think it's very difficult for Jim Montgomery, you know, to keep this goalie rotate. How do you look yourself in the mirror and keep the goalie rotation going, seeing the way Swayman has played in game one and in game three? I think he's going to go back to Swayman. I know he's been stuck on this rotation for months now, but I think it's impossible not to go back to Jeremy Swayman in that game. It was a very physical game. You know that they almost set the record for most hits in a playoff game? I couldn't believe it when I saw it, but then kept thinking back to it, and I'm like, I'm not that shocked. It was a physical game. Both teams were throwing their weight around, and the Bruins, credit to them. And it's the amazing part about that game, Alex, is just when we got to the third period, we were starting to think throughout this whole series, hasn't Brad Marchand been pretty quiet? You know, hasn't he been that noticeable so far? And then bam, there he is. When you need him the most, the captain rises up, steps up with a game-winning goal to make it 3-2, and then puts it away into the empty net to give Boston that game three victory and a 2-1 series lead. Great job by him last night. And now there's this video floating around that as he was put the empty netter in, he skated by the Leaf bench and said it's over in five. I think he might have said still 35. There's a debate. Did he say it's over in five, or did he say still 35, as in 35 seconds left on the clock when he scored that empty net goal? There's this big debate. Everyone's trying to be a lip reader looking at that video of Brad Marchand skating back to the Bruins bench after he put the empty net goal. And did he say it's over in five to the Leaf bench, or was he just saying to his own team, still 35, as in 35 seconds left? The big controversy, Brad Marchand gate, if you will, following that game last night. But regardless, credit to the Bruins, bounce back. I was on the Bruins team totals as well. The over 2.5 and the over 4. The Bruins team total over 2.5 plus over 4.5 parlay was just tremendous. I really liked it going in, so it was nice to cash that as well. So Bruins get a big win there. I know Sheldon Keefe in the post game was upset about the calls or non-calls against Brad Marchand and that Brad Marchand doesn't have enough calls. They don't call him enough for stuff. I don't know. That seems like sour grape. Sounds like just bitter that you lost the game. Bitter that he was the one that put the nail in the coffin with the game winner and then the empty net goal. Tell me something. If you're Sheldon Keefe, he needs to tell me and explain this. If Brad Marchand gets all the calls, why has he been suspended so much throughout the course of his NHL career? If he gets all the calls, why has he been suspended so much? You know, why is that? You know, to me, that's just sounding like a big crybaby. I'm just going to come right out and say it. That's what it sounds like to me as far as his comments last night. I think it's absurd that if he thinks that Brad Marchand gets away with everything. No, he's been suspended a bunch of times. So I think it's just, you know what? You know what he's trying to do, though, and I get why he's doing it. I think he's flat out wrong. It's a ridiculous statement, but I get why he's doing it. He's trying to get the refs to acknowledge that he has a gripe and start calling Marchand for more stuff in game 4. That's the point of what he's doing. He's trying to get the refs to acknowledge what he's saying and start calling him more, start looking for stuff from Brad Marchand that he's doing during a game and start calling him more. So that's why he's doing it. But I think the comments were a little ridiculous. It's not like they haven't punished Marchand in the past. But the Bruins get the win there, Alex, and they're up 2-1 in the series.
Yeah, I guess I think both coaches need to maybe pipe down the rest of the series because we've been hearing some weird stuff.
And then Montgomery, too, about an extra day in Toronto. Who the fuck cares, man? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, dude, like, okay, they've been in the league long enough to know how playoff schedules go, especially in the first round when they want to try and make sure that things don't overlap with one another. They went out everything in the first round ending at around the same time. So that's what I'm saying. It's just, you know, people are saying that these comments are just to deflect, you know, the attention and kind of take pressure off of the players. And maybe that's the case. That's what I think. That seems to be more reasonable, right? They're putting themselves in front of the camera, making themselves the headlines to take pressure off of us talking about Marner or talking about how Marchand hadn't shown up until last night. They're doing their jobs in that way. But at the same time, if these are real gripes, then they need to, you know, like I said, cry somewhere else about it. Don't keep talking about that to the media. But this has been a fantastic series so far. And, you know, it's interesting. We wondered if, you know, Toronto could keep up with the physicality of Boston in this series. They certainly have done that, except based on how many hits we've seen in these first three games. But maybe that's also the reason why Boston has a 2-1 series lead. You're getting away from your style of hockey. You have to get back to your style of hockey. Toronto's style of hockey is not bodying people left and right and throwing body checks. They're about playing finesse, getting clean passes, getting open looks, and scoring goals. And that's what they're going to have to do in game 4. Otherwise, this might be over in 5, and you might want to take that plus 250 spot with Boston if you believe what Marchand said, if you believe that's what he said, Bruins in 5. So it's definitely a do-or-die moment now for Toronto. Being at home, you got to get back to your style of hockey, dictate the pace your way in your building, and even this series up.
They do. There's no question. And Toronto's in a little bit of trouble. But if you think they're in a little bit of trouble, where are the Dallas Stars right now? Down 2-0 to the Vegas Golden Knights, a 3-1 win for the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm not going to talk about how they got the roster to this point where it's so stacked and so loaded. We know they've circumvented the cap. We know that they're able to do that based on the rules in the CBA right now. We're not going to acknowledge that. We get it. You know, it's they're able to do this. And you can say cheating or you can say they're cheaters, whatever. I'm just going to acknowledge the roster they have. Regardless of how they put it together, they're fucking stacked. They're loaded. They are. I mean, they've got everybody healthy. The four lines of depth that they have are back again. Marchessault's looking like he wants another Conn Smythe trophy again. I mean, he's been awesome in the first two games for the Vegas Golden Knights. The blue line 1-6, you take out a Nick Hague, you don't even skip a beat, and then all of a sudden in comes Alec Martinez. Again, you don't skip a beat, and it ends up being just a tremendous deep team right now, the Vegas Golden Knights, and they find ways to win. Logan Thompson, you know, doesn't matter who's in net. Aiden Hill, Logan Thompson, starting to think you put a scarecrow in net, they'd still play well in net for the Golden Knights right now. It's just been an impressive collective job by this hockey team. And again, now they have a command. Well, I say commanding because they won both games on the road. And now they go back home to the Fortress T-Mobile Arena, where they have a chance to put a stranglehold on this series. For the Dallas Stars, look, not enough finish, you know, and really they didn't generate enough. What did they have as far as shots on? I thought in game one they generated a lot, and it was very unfortunate they lost that game because they had 30 shots. They generate a lot. 10 shots on goal in the last two periods when you're trying to avoid an 0-2 deficit on your home ice is unacceptable. Flat out. Unacceptable to have 5 shots on goal in the second period, 5 shots on goal in the third period. You got to get more pucks to the net. I don't care how you do it. You have to get more pucks, bodies to the net. They passed the puck way too much, even in the extra attacker sequence in the final minute or so of that game. Passing it way too much. Shoot the fucking puck, for goodness sake. I mean, 10 shots on goal in the last two periods is not going to get it done as far as trying to generate offense for a team that's 5-on-5 offense has disappeared, quite honestly, here in the first two games of this series. Yes, the Vegas defense is formidable. Yes, Logan Thompson's been more than serviceable in net. But how are you going to know how good the D and the goaltending are when you don't throw more pucks on net than that? That's the problem. Dallas has got to fix that. They got to remedy that. It's not the time to be making that beautiful little tape-to-tape pass and just look for that perfect play. No, simple. You know, little old school is, you know, keep it simple. You know, get pucks to the net, get traffic to the net, take the vision away out of the goaltender. And that's not a style of play we saw enough from the Dallas Stars, especially last night. You know, I thought game one, they really did generate enough where they could have won that game offensively. Last night, they did not. You know, the only goal was a Jason Robertson power play goal. 5-on-5, it was stagnant all night, hard to generate anything, hard to get to the net. Look, Dallas, this is the playoffs. It's hard, hard to do all that stuff. But if you want to win, you have to try to do that if you're going to be a successful team in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So that's the biggest issue. They have not generated enough chances, not enough pucks to the net, not enough traffic in front. Vegas, look, of course, they do an incredible job boxing out. This is exactly what they did in the run to winning the Stanley Cup last year, too. I acknowledge that. But, you know, if you want to win this series, you can't just say, well, this is what Vegas did last year. Well, this is what Vegas does, and they're doing it again this year. No, you've got to overcome it. You've got to thwart it somehow. And that's up to Dallas to figure out how when this series goes back to T-Mobile Arena for Game 3. And by the way, it's getting worse, too, for Dallas from an injury perspective. Radek Foxa left that game last night due to injury. I know he's a fourth liner, but he's a good defensive player, and he's a good energy player on that line. You'll miss him. And the bigger one is Mason Marchment, who has been just outstanding playoff performer for Dallas back-to-back years and plays on that very important second line with Duchesne and Seguin. And he left the game to injury, and their status for Game 3 and beyond is up in the air. And that's the last thing Dallas needs. Already down 2-0, Alex, and injuries now starting to mount. So it becomes a must in Game 3 before everyone asks, because I know everyone's aware it's Thursday, and what happens on Thursday on this show? Matt Robinson's usually with us. He's not on the show today, but it's got nothing to do with he's in depression mode, or he's just a complete and utter basket case because his Dallas Stars are down 2-0 in the series, trying to avoid the face and the music. It's got nothing to do with that. He's actually got a meeting today at work, or otherwise he would have been here. But I know it's been a tough 24 hours for him. He's gutted, and I feel for him. I feel for the Dallas Stars fans right now, because this is a very arduous task that you have in front of you right now. And Game 3 is a must, absolute must. Hell, I think you got to win both in Vegas. I think if you're down 3-0 or 3-1 in this series, you're going to be trouble coming back to beat this Vegas Golden Knights team. So I think Dallas has to take the mindset, take it one game at a time. But if you win Game 3, don't be satisfied. You got to try to go after Game 4 too, because I don't know if there's a road back from 3-0, 3-1 down in this series.
Yeah, there's definitely not a road back from 3-0, but I don't know if there's much of a pathway right now at 2-0 going into T-Mobile Arena. The way that they lost that game, this wasn't like it was a close double overtime affair. This is, like I said, the score doesn't indicate the domination that Vegas had in this contest. It by the path of play, the pace of play, that should have been a 6-1 Vegas final, not a 3-1 Vegas final. So Dallas is in a world of trouble. Now you got the injuries mounting as well. Of course, we know everybody's dealing with some kind of bang up or a soreness, an illness of some sort. But when you got guys now that possibly could be missing games, especially in this pivotal point of the series, that tells you that this may not be it. You know, this is now sixth in a row for Vegas over Dallas in a playoff series. So when you look back at that, going back into last year, they said that they might just be in Dallas's heads. And now you missed your chance to get one of those two games at home. You got to go into an absolute fortress that's going to be rocking and rolling in Vegas. Just like this team's playoff ready, that crowd, that fan base is playoff ready. That's not as easy of a building to take the air out of, like American Airlines Center, or like some other places we talked about with teams that are still in the playoffs. So you got to come hot and heavy. And I just don't think they can do that. We talked about this team all year being a team that give up the first goal in the first period, kind of struggling and battling back and forth. That's why we love the first period over so much throughout the year with Dallas. It wasn't necessarily because they were getting 2 and 3 goals, because they were allowing 2 and 3 goals. So the Crows are kind of come home the roost right now. And, you know, at this point, somebody who holds some futures with Dallas that were kind of spotted as hedges with the futures I have for Vancouver, which is another story, it might be time to kind of jump off of that and look at some other things. I think the series could easily be a sweep or definitely be done within 5 games. So I'll probably be on both of those moving forward with Vegas sometime today.
And LA Edmonton, the final game last night in the NHL playoffs. What a game it was. Best bet winner. Didn't have to wait long to cash it, did I? The LA and scoring a goal in the first period. LA team total over 0.5 minus 135 first period. Took 3 minutes to get that in the win column. Adrian Kempe with a phenomenal game for the LA Kings. And I said this, I warned everybody on the show yesterday. Yeah, I know LA looked awful in game one against Edmonton. But Edmonton sometimes, you know, they have these games where they don't play as good. They're a little flighty at times. They let a team back into a game or into a series. And it's kind of what they did last night. LA was ready to start that game. Edmonton was not. You know, it was that simple. And you got one of those games again from Skinner, Stuart Skinner, where he was, you know what? He was okay. He wasn't great, you know, last night in that game. Whereas, and I don't think Talbot was necessarily phenomenal either, but they outscored Edmonton. They got the offense going to support their goaltender. And more than anything, you can't ever discount the heart of a champion. And did we ever see it from the two remaining members of the Stanley Cup championship-winning Kings teams last night? How good, how friggin' terrific last night were Drew Doughty and Anze Kopitar? How terrific were they? They were phenomenal. Drew Doughty, what a goal he scored to have the sense, the hockey sense to jump into that play, you know, skate into that pass, take it, and then go breakaway job on Stuart Skinner and finish it the way he did. He was a beast in the defensive zone. He was physical throughout the course of the night. And then Anze Kopitar, he was good defense, much better defensively, I thought, than he was in game one. And of course, gets the overtime winner to get the LA Kings even in this series. You know, I think it's still going to be a tough road for LA, but they are at least going to make this series a little bit harder on Edmonton. There's no question about that. I still think Edmonton's in a decent spot. Keep in mind, on the road in LA, they've had some good moments in the past, the Edmonton Oilers. In fact, I'm kind of leaning their way right now for game 3 of that series back in LA. But I will say this again, with this LA team, it's not, you're not going to beat them without a fight. You know, maybe again, throughout the course of a best of 7 series, this Edmonton level of skill and talent and the chemistry we're seeing from McDavid and Hyman and the way their depth forwards like Fogle and last night, Dylan Holloway, how he stepped up as well for the Edmonton Oilers. Maybe that's going to wear down LA over the course of the series. But again, the LA Kings do have that championship pedigree from the likes of a Drew Doughty and the likes of an Anze Kopitar. And if you're going to beat them, you got to put the stake in their heart. And the Edmonton Oilers missed an opportunity to do that last night, Alex.
Yeah, they did. And like I said, you know, having those key veterans, we talk about that all the time when teams make moves to the deadline or just to just have guys who've been playing around, you know, in the league for a long time. Having that veteran experience is huge, because not only are they just good guys to have, good voices to have in the locker room, you know, keeping the level of everything not too high, not too low, but also coming through it with clutch plays like that. And Kopitar and Doughty, you know, in their, you know, later years, still providing quality clutch plays at the right time. And that's a big key and a big edge to have. And that's why I wasn't crazy about anything really going deep in this series. I still like Edmonton to win, but that was the reason why I didn't like Edmonton sweep or anything, you know, 2-1, you know, spots after game 3 or anything like that, because
Edmonton LA minus 1.5 handicap, like you weren't interested too much in that. Yep.
Right. Yep. Nothing like that, because LA has that chance If they can get some good goaltending from Talbot, which they did, they got phenomenal goaltending from Talbot. That's the biggest key as well. Talbot standing on his head, making some big saves when needed. That's going to have to continue down the stretch. Even if Kopitar and Doughty don't show up every game the rest of the series scoring goals, but you need Talbot to be A1 the rest of this stretch because you're going to have these back-and-forth battles. We're not talking about 12-3 to the over the last 15 playoff meetings between Edmonton and L.A. So it's going to be hot and heavy offensively. That's just the way that these two teams match up when it comes to the playoff time. Other teams, we see them kind of tighten things down, play lower, slower hockey. That's certainly not the case here with L.A. and Edmonton, and I don't think that's going to be the case when this series goes back to Los Angeles for Game 3.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I said, now it's just gotten a little bit more difficult, and this series has just gotten just a little bit more harder now for the Edmonton Oilers as the scene will shift to L.A. for Game 3 coming up. And you know what I thought was very impressive was it was a ho-hum night for Connor McDavid. You know, last night, that is something that I think was very noticeable about and a big, I think, component to L.A. winning in Game 2 last night and evening up the series, you know, was the nice job they were able to do, you know, at least somewhat containing Connor McDavid. Easier said than done. But, you know, I thought they did a pretty solid job being able to do that last night in that game against the Edmonton Oilers. All right, we've got two games tonight. So it is a BetCast night, so it's going to be a shorter BetCast because both games are early games, Eastern Conference first-round games, but still we'll be with you for the entirety of both games tonight. And again, patreon.com/iceguys. Make sure you sign up to join us tonight on the BetCast. But we'll begin with Game 3 of the Battle of Florida. Florida Panthers, Tampa Bay Lightning, Tampa Bay -115 home favorites, total 6, Florida leading the series 2-0. Obviously, a lot of people gravitate in these spots with the home team down 2-0 to bet the home team in some form in this situation, or any team really down 2-0, but especially when they're down 2-0 going back home, that in the first period they're worth a look, full game they're worth a look, and I think that's true to some extent. But, you know, when you look at this series and the way it's unfolding right now, I've got major concerns about what Tampa can do offensively at 5-on-5. I've said it all year about the Lightning at even strength. They've been a big-time power play team throughout the course of the season. They rely so much on that man advantage to be able to score goals. 5-on-5, I think we see that Florida is the better of these two teams. Certainly all season, they were the better 5-on-5 even strength team. There's no question about that. The question's going to be for Tampa Bay, can they get their offense going? Can they beat Sergei Bobrovsky right now, who, of course, had one of the all-time great Stanley Cup playoff saves in Game 2? Will he be able to duplicate that? And really for Florida, the scary thing for Florida is look at all the different names that have contributed early in the series for them. You know, Reinhardt's been good. Bennett is a loss, though. I will say that. Sam Bennett's absence, you know, is significant. He's just a good physical player, someone you love having on your team in the playoffs. You will miss him moving forward. But again, with this Florida team, interchangeable parts, pretty solid depth up front. And from the look of the line combinations tonight for Florida without Sam Bennett, it looks like they're going to have Kachuk, Lundell, and Verhaeghe on the second line. Of course, Tarasenko, Barkov, and Reinhardt will stay the same. Lustarin and Stenlin and Rodriguez on the third line. It looks like Steven Lorenz, Kyle Okposo, and Nick Cousins on the fourth line. The Lamborghini as well, as Goldie on Ice calls him, Ryan Lomberg, is still going to be out as well for the Florida Panthers in this game tonight. But still, they've got enough forward depth. The bottom six, it's like you take one out, the other guy comes in, plays the same type of game. Smash the body, you know, be physical, forecheck, you know, just that downhill style of hockey that Florida plays for 60 minutes. Definitely not much going to change even with a couple forwards out. Blue line stays intact. For Tampa Bay coming into this game tonight, it looks like for them not really any major changes, although I do see they might be playing Calvin DeHaan, a defenseman, on the fourth line potentially tonight based on the current lineups I'm seeing. But other than that, no real changes. Really, this comes down to you got to find a way to put the puck in the net. If you're Tampa Bay, you haven't done it enough in this series, and especially at 5-on-5. And if you're going to be a team that relies on the power play, well, you got to do a better job drawing penalties out of Florida. And then when you do get those power plays, you have to take advantage. And if that neither of those things happen, they're going to be in trouble. And don't put it past Florida with the incentive to sweep these guys the way Tampa swept them, you know, 2 years ago. You know, I don't think Florida is going to say, you know what, great, 2-0. We're going to relax a little bit. No, I think if they got a chance to sweep these guys, especially knowing that they had a long, grueling playoff run last year, keep themselves fresher for the next round, you know, take the advantage to do that. So that's going to be something to monitor. So what I have here is we have to come back to the first period over. You know, we just simply have to. I mean, we know the Tampa Bay run with the first period overs. It's been phenomenal. Yet it's been a weird series, Alex, where the series is 2-0 to the first period over. It's actually 2-0 to the full game under, though. You know, so very, very interesting that we've seen those early goals. But then I will say, I think if the goaltending is anything less than spectacular on both sides in game two, it probably goes over the total. But it was one of those nights where Vasilevsky was great and Bobrovsky was just inhuman, you know, and of course, one of the great saves of all time. So I'm going to sprinkle on the full game over, but definitely I veer more toward the first period over with just the pattern of this series and how we've seen the goals early. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to do a couple of parlays here with the team totals of the two teams that are down 0-2 in this series. Tampa Bay and the Islanders, it's a parlay for them just to score a goal in the first period. Tampa to score one, Islanders to score one. And you'll get that at plus 180, pretty good price. So that's Islanders to score a first period goal and Tampa Bay to score a first period goal. Parlayed together, plus 180. I do like that a bit. I do sprinkle a bit too on the team totals over 2.5 for both of them as well. But really what I like more than anything here is the parlay of the two in the first period to get on the board. Tampa and the Islanders, plus 180, you parlay them together. I can't take Tampa to score a goal in the first period by itself because you're laying a minus 165 to minus 170, you know, at most books with that. So that's why I'm putting that in a parlay. First period over is the primary non-team total bet that I have here in this game, and a smaller look at the full game over. We did see the draw hit the last game. I don't know if this is a draw game, though. I don't know. Coming off a game like that, I'm not so sure we see overtime. I thought we would see it with Boston-Toronto last night. We almost did. But for me, primarily, first period over, that Lightning Islanders goal in the first period parlay at plus 180, and a little smaller taste of the Lightning team total over for the game at 2.5. What do you think here, Alex? Game three, Battle of Florida.
Yeah, I would have actually been all of the draw if last game hadn't gone to overtime. If last game had ended in regulation, regardless of who won, I would have been on the draw here in game three. But I think now, like you said, Florida's got some momentum, and this is definitely where the revenge spot definitely sets in, right? You take this game, you're up 3-0, and I know that was Andrew Burnett's group, but if I'm Paul Maurice, I go and win these two games, and I sweep Tampa Bay. I tell everybody to pack up on the bus. I'm taking everybody right back to that strip club where they went 2 years ago, and I'm taking a team photo outside of that place to just cement the legacy and the turnaround of what's happened in the 2 years from that time where they got knocked out to where they are right now, being one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. That's just something to keep in mind, but you got to win this one first. And I do think that Florida will come out hot and heavy in this one. I love the first period over. Still riding that trend with Tampa, but I like both teams to score as well. Tampa's definitely going to show some pushback, and they're going to show it early, having that home crowd momentum now behind them on their side. I definitely think we're going to see some goals here. Now, the over, like I said, I've been enjoying this series so far in that case because I've been hitting these live unders. I've cashed 2 for 2 after cashing the first period, so I would be happy seeing that trend again, but I don't think we're going to see that. I don't think we're going to see things kind of slow down and taper off in the second period, especially if it's Tampa coming out or getting the lead after the first 20 minutes. Florida's going to be right back there. So this is going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. I'm staying away from the side, staying away from the full game total. I'm just going with first period over and first period, both teams to score. You get that plus 172, seeing a plus 175 around as well.
All right, like a lot of those. As far as props, there's a lot I like in props. I mean, I'm going back to the well with Carter Verhaeghe. It's impossible not to right now. He scores the overtime winner in game two. He has a goal in each of the first two games of the series. And you don't want to overthink it and talk yourself out of something that looks blatantly obvious. And what's blatantly obvious right now is this guy's a playoff performer. You know, he always has been here for the Florida Panthers going back to last year. So Carter Verhaeghe to score a goal is an obvious goal prop for me. Here tonight in this game for the Panthers. You know, there's still value with Tarasenko as long as he stays on the top line. And he did get them on the board in game two as well. So you can look in that direction. Those are the main two I would look at as far as goal props on the Florida side. Keeping it simple, the players that are proven to be performing so far here in the series. I think when you look at Tampa Bay, no one seems to score bigger goals or goals more often for this team when they need it. And they need a game, and it's a dire game for them, like it is for Tampa Bay, than Braden Point. So, again, that's another thing where don't overthink it. Braden Point seems to step up in these kind of spots. There's no question about that. So Braden Point to score a goal. Steven Stamkos is really rolling right now. He has a goal in each of the first two games of this series as well. So Steven Stamkos has to be on your radar as far as goal props tonight as well in this game. And yes, he hasn't come through for us yet as far as goal props here in this series. But maybe back home in this spot tonight will be the night we see him step up, and that's Nick Paul back home. I'm not abandoning ship yet on our guy Nick Paul here for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I'm going to take a shot with him. Again, you'll get well over plus 300 for him to score a goal tonight here in this game. So those are the main prop looks. Duclair, he did get an assist the last game, hasn't scored yet in this series. I wouldn't say no to that, but focusing more on Point, Stamkos, Paul on the Tampa Bay Lightning side. And like I said, especially for Florida, a little value on Tarasenko, but number one, without a doubt, Carter Verhaeghe for the Florida Panthers. No question about that. And while I like Tampa to get on the board early, feed off that Amalie Arena crowd, feed off Sonya Bryson Kirksey singing the anthem in her blue lipstick, blue lightning lipstick when she sings the anthem there, feed off that. And then I think that'll spur them on early. But for the full game, it wouldn't shock me if, Florida gets themselves back into it, gets their feet under them, and then it's just life or death for Tampa to win at the end. That really wouldn't shock me at all. So that's the approach for me when it comes to Panthers and Lightning. And again, we'll have more live in-game looks, and we'll mention those on the BetCast tonight, I'm sure. All right, the other game, and the only other game tonight, also in the Eastern Conference, Game 3, first round, Carolina Hurricanes, New York Islanders, the Hurricanes minus 165 road favorites, 5.5 the total. Carolina up 2-0 in the series. Carolina surprisingly up 2-0 in the series based on the fact that for a majority of game two, it looked like the Islanders were coming back to what was expected to be a very raucous UBS Arena with a series split, and it was just stolen out from under them in the final few minutes of that game. To be quite honest with you, though, if you actually look back at the flow of the play, the shots on goal, the chances generated, Carolina probably did deserve to win. I mean, the Islanders capitalized on the few chances they had. And, Carolina, they had way more shots, way more attempts on net and failed to capitalize. Islanders capitalized and cashed in on the few chances they had. But still, you had that opportunity up 3-0 in that game to win it, even though the run of play was against you. And somehow you didn't bring it home. 3-1 became 3-2. And then just that stunning sequence in the final few minutes of the third period where the Canes tie at 3-3 and then go up 4-3 in the blink of an eye. And then just to pour salt on the wound, especially if you had puck line on plus 1.5 like I did on the Islanders, Canes into the empty net with Jake Guentzel to make it 5-3. So a brutal loss. This is going to be the ultimate test of mental strength and fortitude and a response to adversity from the New York Islanders, the way they lost that game. Patrick Waugh rolling the dice here. Ilya Sorokin in net for the Islanders tonight. I don't know if it's all Varlamov's fault when it's all said and done. He's had a great run. I don't think he was particularly bad in game two. But this is more just shake it up, wake-up call for the team. Something new, throw a little different, something at Rod Brind'Amour and the Hurricanes, putting Sorokin in there. I'm not sure this move will work. But at this point, what the fuck have you got to lose? You're down 2-0. You're coming off just a brutal loss in game two. I get why he's doing it. Try to get a change of pace, a little momentum going. We'll see if it pays off, though, here for the Islanders in this game. I do expect, the crowd maybe to get a frenzy going and help the Islanders early. So, again, as I mentioned earlier, I'm on that. Both teams down 2-0 tonight. I'm on their team. I'm on them to score a goal in the first period, and I parlayed them together. That's actually upwards of plus 190, close to it at Bet365 for Lightning goal in the first period and Islanders goal in the first period. I do like that. I think I've got to go with the first period over here too, because, you know, two games in this series we've seen the first period over cash in 2-0 in this series in Carolina. Both games the first period over came through. So definitely like the first period over, but kind of like the last game, you know, I'm not as bullish on the full game over, more so liking the goals early, just like what I talked about with the Florida-Tampa Bay game a moment ago. As far as the side goes, though, I don't want the Islanders for the full game. I'll do my small little team total for the game at 2.5. I'll put them in that parlay with the Lightning to score a goal in the first period, but I ain't touching them plus 145 for the game. We've seen blown leads all season from the Islanders. We know Carolina is a team that often gets stronger as the game goes on as well. This is just early. Anything I like with the Islanders in particular, I like it early here in this game three tonight. Like I said, this is going to be a good challenge for the Islanders to see what they've got in them after just a horrific loss in game two the other night. Alex, game three, Canes Islanders.
Yeah, I probably would be looking to grab first period over, but I'm just going to wait and do it in game. Right now, we're looking at minus $1.
Draw, two. By the way. This is the game of that. This is the game where I sense we could see the draw for the first time in this series come through. We almost had it in game two. This is the game tonight I'm sprinkling on the draw. I think change of scenery, all-out desperation for the Islanders. I don't think it's going to be an easy game for Carolina. They might win it, but I don't think it's going to be easy. This could be the game where we finally get some overtime.
Yeah, no, I agree with that too. So yeah, first period over, like I said, that's a look I'm going to be having in game with minus $1.02 to minus $1.10 right now. We could definitely wait a few minutes to get plus money. Instead, I think this might be a bit of a slower kind of pace even in the first 3 to 4 minutes, even though, like I said, crowd advantage on the Islander side, we should be able to get this at plus 120 to plus 125. But I also like to draw here. Shop around for this. I got plus 330 at FanDuel. Seeing a lot of books that have this sub 300. I would probably maybe cut this down to a half unit and then try to add on a little bit more in-game if I get anything below 300. And there's also, I'm dabbling on looking at possibly a spot here for my bargain bin. I haven't decided that. I'll probably decide once we come out of the commercial break. But there's one thing that I am targeting, and it's kind of tied in and correlated with the draw.
Oh, it's funny. My bargain bin special comes from this game as well. So I'm going to save mine as well for that segment. But as far as other props for this game that I'm interested in, Palmieri, Horvat, Nelson. I mean, those are the guys. Those are the only guys that are consistently scoring for that. Although Kyle McLean, I'd actually put a couple bucks on Kyle McLean. He's actually been one of the best forwards for the Islanders in the first two games of the series. He's only playing on the fourth line, but he scored a goal in game two. He had that fight with Stefan Nason. He's playing extremely hard. I mean, every shift that guy's working his ass off for the Islanders. Maybe it's because his dad is an assistant coach on the team. He knows he's got to work really hard. Can't get away with stuff with his dad there, John McLean, as an assistant coach for the Islanders. But no, I've been impressed with his efforts. There's no question. You know, on the Carolina side, when it comes to props for them, Jake Guentzel, obviously, it goes without saying. Now, be careful here with Jarvis. Jarvis has been dropped to the third line with Staal and Martinuk and promoted up to the Aho Guentzel line is Svechnikov for the Carolina Hurricanes. So I believe that's something, actually a change that Rod Brind'Amour made in the course of game two. And I believe he's sticking with it here in game three. So it looks like Svechnikov back with Aho and Guentzel there on that top line for the Carolina Hurricanes. And here's another one, too, that's I know Jimmy Murphy mentioned him on a recent appearance, and he scored the other night, too, for the Carolina Hurricanes. Jordan Martinuk, man, he's become someone that has become a nice little playoff performer. You remember last year, you know, and some of the step-up offensive contributions the Hurricanes got from Jordan Martinuk. So to me, definitely, I think he's worth a shot tonight in this game as well, as far as player props. All right, that is the Thursday slate, just the two games. We're back with you tonight. We're looking forward to it. Our first Patreon-exclusive edition of a Stanley Cup Playoff Live betcast here with the Ice Guys, 7 p.m. Eastern time. The only way to tune in and the only way to join us on the stream tonight is by signing up at patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. Again, you'll have access to our live betcast tonight by signing up as a member. Our daily sides totals and player props posted on the page each and every day, goalie charts, totals charts, and more bonus content. And of course, exclusive access to our live betcast tonight and all the Patreon exclusive live betcasts in the future, the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So again, sign up patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month, and check out the Ice Guys store as well. Get your gear and your merch, iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
For the next 5 days, you can get 15% off at the Ice Guys shop. You go to iceguys.myspreadshop.com, click on the redeem button at the top of the page and shop away. You get 15% off of your total order now all the way through to the April 29th. So take advantage of that sale right now going on at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
All right, we got best bets and bargain bin special of the night coming right up right after we hear from our great sponsors, Boston Hemp Inc.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night for this edition of the Ice Guys show for this Thursday. Just two games, but that doesn't mean there's not great opportunities with the bargain bin special. Alex, where are you going with the bargain bin special tonight?
So I was going to try and look for one of those overtime game winner props that's available at FanDuel, but I'm getting with something that's a little bit more widely available and a player who's moving up on the top line with Carolina tonight, still at a bargain bin price. Give me Tuukka Teravainen plus 370 to get a goal. That's the highest price I'm seeing at FanDuel right now, but I think it could be Tuukka time. He's one of those guys that can just step in, deliver, get a kind of those chippy kind of clutch goals, and what should be another just kind of a, you know, sloppier, messier game late into the contest. So Tuukka Teravainen plus 370. That is my bargain bin special for tonight.
All right, Tuukka Teravainen, Carolina Hurricanes, plus 370 for Alex B. Smith with his bargain bin special of the night. My bargain bin special for the night, back on home ice for the New York Islanders, must-have game for them, no question. I do expect them to, you know, do everything they can, throw everything but the kitchen sink at Frederik Andersen here in this game tonight. They've got to have it. And the one player for the Islanders that's played hard every shift, physical, he's gotten in scrums, he's been up on the top line for a few games now for this team, and he's come close to scoring a couple of times in this series. I think it's just right there for him to finally break through and find the back of the net, and it wouldn't shock me if it's tonight. We're going to go with Casey Cizikas for the New York Islanders. He looks like he's still going to be on the top line tonight for the New York Islanders. You can find him at plus 650 at FanDuel to score a goal tonight. So a big spot for the Islanders. Game they have to have. I like the effort we've seen from him in the first two games, Casey Cizikas. He's had chances. I'm going to roll the dice that he finds the back of the net tonight. Casey Cizikas, New York Islanders, plus 650 for my bargain bin special of the night. All right, best bets, Alex. What do you like for best bet?
I think it's no secret to anybody who's watching the show, right? 24-6 run in their last 30 games, the Tampa Bay Lightning, in the first period over. Now, whether they chip in or not, I think tonight they do get a goal here. That's why I also like both teams to score. But at minus $1.20, minus $1.15, we're going right back to the well with the first period over with Florida and Tampa Bay. That's the best bet.
All right. Florida-Tampa Bay over 1.5, as low as minus 116 at Pinnacle. Best bet for Alex B. Smith. And look, there's only two games tonight. We do usually do our best to avoid having the same best bet, but not tonight. It's the clear best bet, in my opinion, as well. Panthers-Lightning over 1.5, minus 116, first period. The run is strong for Tampa, 24-6 last 30, 2-0 to the first period over in this series in the first two games. Clear best bet, no question about it, in my opinion. Florida-Tampa Bay over 1.5, first period. My best bet as well for this Thursday NHL card. That's a wrap. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. We appreciate it very much. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. And again, another reminder that Believe.com is the new home of the Ice Guys podcast. So make sure you bookmark that page. Got the links whenever we post the daily podcast episode. You'll see the link there to Believe.com and the Ice Guys podcast page at that site. So make sure that's where you go for the daily Ice Guys podcast page and to download the show each and every day. And a reminder, Patreon exclusive live betcast tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern. Sign up at the page to become a part of it. For Alex B. Smith, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Thursday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And if you're a Patreon member, we will see you in about 4 hours from now, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Patreon exclusive Stanley Cup playoff live betcast. And we will be back with you, of course, as always, tomorrow for a Beantown Friday edition of the Ice Guys.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.